Welcome, and thank you for joining us for the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Health Underwriters. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or Spotify. The podcast is distributed on these platforms every Friday and is included in the NAHU's weekly member-exclusive health policy newsletter, The Washington Update, giving you a head start on your weekly healthcare happy hour. We apologize for the audio quality on this week's episode of the Healthcare Happy Hour. We are practicing social distancing and recording in our individual homes. The August congressional recess is rapidly approaching as Republicans and Democrats aim to pass a fourth coronavirus aid package, but there is no shortage of obstacles standing in the way. On this week's episode of the Healthcare Happy Hour, John and Chris discuss what the different sides are vying to get included in this bill, as well as a legislative update on other fronts, including surprise billing and COBRA as credible coverage. So what are some of the main issues dividing Democrats and Republicans in regards to this next legislative package? What is each side vying for?
Thanks, Dan. And as we're recording this on Thursday, it is possible that by the time you hear this, that Mitch McConnell and Senate Republicans will come out with their own COVID piece of legislation. But from the Democratic point of view, things have been laid out over a month ago from the House HEROES Act. And in all my conversations, their number one priority is providing assistance to state and local governments for combating the coronavirus. The Democratic position is very much that unless we get the coronavirus under control through testing, through contract tracing, that we are not going to get the economy going again. People will be too afraid to go back to shopping, to go back to restaurants, to go back to stores. And so all efforts must be put in on controlling the virus through testing and through contact tracing and providing assistance to those states, including funding those states for all the lost revenues, funding the cities and municipalities who have to combat this and pay for combating the virus in the hospitals and the other medical assistance that's necessary. So out of the money that is in the $3 trillion bill, about $500 billion of that is to the states and localities, and that will be their number one request and priority. Along with that, the testing and contact tracing that goes with that state and local assistance will be the Democrats' number one priority.
So not surprisingly, Republicans have a different perspective, and Leader McConnell is really focused on liability issues for employers as people return to work. They just want to know what the rules of the road are so that anything outside of that can't be contested in court. That's going to be very contentious between the two sides. For Leader McConnell, it's also about keeping the bill somewhere around $1 trillion, which already we're hearing that it creeps over that just within the scope of the limits of what we've heard, not including coverage issues. They would also throw a lot of money at vaccine development. They focus more on people returning to work as soon as possible, opening up the economy. Schools in particular are going to receive quite a bit of money under the Republican bill. But, you know, school districts like my own are planning to do everything virtually for the rest of the year. So it'll be interesting to see how these play out.
Yeah, the Democrats are very concerned about Mitch McConnell's ideas for liability. And they're concerned that it will turn into blanket liability, that there'll be no way for an employee to prove that they weren't allowed to social distance at work, that they were put in unsafe conditions, and that some of the proposals that have been out there, anytime a person could have possibly caught corona, say at home or other location, Democrats are very concerned that even any sort of modified liability reform for employers and universities and others will end up essentially turning into blanket liability because you can't prove where exactly you caught COVID. So those continue to be big concerns amongst Democrats. Democrats are also very much in the healthcare arena pushing for 100% funding of COBRA and wanting to make sure that everyone has health insurance while they're in a pandemic. They're also very supportive of issues like allowing people to go back into the individual market for an open enrollment period within the ACA and FSA rollovers. So Democrats are very much heavily focused, I think, overall on the healthcare side of things, and Republicans are more focused on the economic side of things. I think the Democrats' argument would be, unless you get the healthcare piece under control, the economy is never going to do what you want it to do, and you're just throwing money at a problem that's not going to get any better if the American public is still afraid of their own personal safety, afraid of not having health insurance, afraid of not having economic stability in their own lives, and therefore won't be willing to engage in the economy anymore.
There are a number of Republicans who understand that state and local governments need some assistance. It's just a question of how it, and for what it is doled out for. But I think that some compromise there will be made.
What are some things the White House is looking for Congress to include or exclude?
Well, primarily they would like to have a tax holiday. But Republicans are even pushing back on that idea because it really takes away from the Medicare and Social Security trust funds in a really significant way. And they believe that there are other ways in which to achieve some assistance to people. And July 31st is the end of unemployment insurance increase of, you know, the $600 additional funding. And so something will need to be done there, as the new unemployment numbers claims that came out this morning indicate that claims are again on the rise. And so they will have to figure out how to target people who still are going to need assistance. Remember that this is the last big legislative vehicle for this year. And so if it's not included in this package, it's more unlikely and more contentious to try to do something in the fall, in September, when they return. Now, having said all this, the White House is looking for a win on anything they can get. They are looking for a win on surprise billing. They would like to hold consumers completely harmless and let payers duke it out in the courts with the providers. Senate Republicans are not on board with everything that the White House wants to do. And so they have conflicts that they need to resolve before they begin negotiating with Democrats.
The Trump administration's number one proposal really is that payroll tax holiday and making sure that businesses would not have to put out the funds that go into payroll tax. However, as John mentioned, that's not where the congressional Republicans are. I also think there is a disagreement between the White House and the Republicans about more money for testing. I think the White House believes there's plenty of money out there for testing and we don't need any more tests. Tests are perfectly available in this country. And I don't think congressional Republicans are right in the same spot there with believing that funding for testing is at the correct levels. So I think that's part of the reason why you haven't seen a proposal from Mitch McConnell at the beginning of this week, like we originally told, because of some of the disagreements between the White House and him and some of the disagreements within the Senate Republican overall caucus. You see Ted Cruz and others saying we shouldn't be spending any more money. People like Rand Paul believe that more money has been spent than this country can afford.
Up to now, there had been significant discussion around surprise billing potentially being a part of this next coronavirus legislation. What is the status on that?
So surprise billing continues to be part of the conversation here in Washington, particularly because it affects so many people's lives in healthcare. There is an effect within the overall COVID universe. And particularly Chairman Alexander from Tennessee, the Republican chairman of the Senate Health Committee, is retiring at the end of this Congress. And he would really like to see surprise billing issue fixed before he's gone as part of his overall legacy. And if you'll remember, he started off with legislation that called for median and network rates, something that NAHU is supportive of. As the bill has evolved, in order to get more votes, he has allowed some limited forms of arbitration in his proposal. This is not a direction that we are particularly thrilled about, but I understand what the chairman is trying to do. He is going to push to have this included in a COVID piece of legislation because it is the last large vehicle leaving for the year. I still think it will be an uphill battle because many hospitals will claim they can't handle the issue of surprise billing while they're managing a pandemic. They're worried that they won't have the revenues to keep operating, particularly as some individuals are afraid to do elective surgeries and others in hospitals while a pandemic is going on, and then they can't afford to essentially not surprise bill patients in order to make up that rest of that revenue at this time. The White House has pushed their idea of simply banning the surprise billing and then letting the payers, be it the insurance carriers or the employers who self-insure, and the providers, the hospitals and the doctors, fight it out in the court system. However, most studies of that idea show that it's simply going to lead to higher costs and thus higher insurance rates across the board. So this is going to continue to be a hot topic. NHU is very engaged, particularly from the point of view is, yes, we need to hold the consumer harmless, but we need to also hold the consumer harmless on the back end, that they're not going to end up paying more in insurance rates, more in higher deductibles, simply because we've now shifted the cost around and the hospitals and doctors are still getting essentially the surprise billing rates, but now from the self-insurer or the insurance carrier.
I was on a call with Leader McConnell, who made it crystal clear that if it's not COVID related, it would not be included in the bill. And the AMA, who was also on the call, pushed hard to say that surprise billing should not be included because it wasn't COVID related. And the leader tended to agree. And so that's why we're asking you to participate in the Operation Shout to bring up any instances, particularly that are COVID related, to demonstrate that this is an ongoing problem. Again, the calendar is short. If it isn't done in this bill, it's unlikely that it will happen this year. The notion that there could be a lame duck, yes, technically there could be, but I'm just not feeling it. I don't know that there'll be a lame duck. You know, depending on how the election comes out, one side or the other just may throw their hands up and say, we're just really not going to do that. All the appropriations will be done largely by what remains before September 30th by CR. And then there's the election and a change in government. So it's really important that if you have cases that are COVID related and people were given a surprise bill, to participate in Operation Shout and let your member of Congress know that.
Yeah, I agree, John. And particularly on the idea of legislating in the lame duck, that is legislating after the election, but before the new Congress is sworn in. People always think that a lot can get done during those periods of time. And in some points in history, it has. People are willing to work on things where there's no election coming up, or perhaps they've retired or lost, so will not be here the next Congress anyway. However, recent history has shown that any time the election has particularly been polarized or there's been a change in power, the lame duck is less productive. And so I'm not holding out great hope that this lame duck will be terribly productive the way things are going.
There has been some traction in the Medicare space recently, with the NIHU-supported Bennies Act passing out of committee last week. One major issue that NIHU has been working on for some time is fighting to get COBRA considered credible coverage for Medicare. What's happening on that front?
So Congressman Kurt Schrader from Oregon has been our staunch champion on this bill for a long, long time, and he's very passionate about it. Earlier in a hearing, we thought we had agreement to add it into Bennies, but there's been some recent pushback from some stakeholders whom Chris and I have talked to about the issue, and at that time had full agreement. But sometimes what happens when legislation is actually poised to move and become law, stakeholders then change their mind about what ought to be in the bill. And so that's basically what has happened. Some stakeholders have pushed back. They're asking for some amendments to the bill. And what the ENC chairman, when this passed through committee, wanted was a smooth markup. And so our bill was not included, but we were granted and supported by everyone to raise it again in September as a standalone bill. So that being said, Chris and I are trying to see if there's a play in the Senate to either move the bill independently there or somehow include it in Bennies. We're also trying to get a better sense of what amendment requests they're specifically making to see if we can reach agreement and if Senate members would be amenable to those. So there's still a lot of things to play out here. We're still working it really hard. We still believe that the penalty is severe enough that all sides should be focused on that. But if there's a way to amend it without disrupting the bigger bill, given the time we have to pass the whole package, then we can consider that. And our Medicare Advisory Group and our FMO Council are both going to help weigh in on amendment suggestions.
As mentioned earlier, August recess is coming up, where brokers can get on the calendars of their representatives and senators to talk with them about our legislative priorities. In regards to the topics we've discussed today, surprise billing and COBRA specifically, what is most important for NAHU members to talk about in their meetings?
Thanks, Dan. August is the perfect time to talk to your member of Congress. Traditionally, it's the slowest time in politics and in the legislative calendar. And so I would encourage everyone to contact their member of Congress and set up a meeting with their chapter. This time, more of it might be done through Zoom or more virtually, but it still is a very good time because of the way the schedule goes in August. And in some ways, you can have a deeper conversation because of that less hectic schedule. Often when people come to CAP conference, if they're even able to get any time with their member of Congress, it's only going to be 10, 15 minutes because they're distracted by committee hearings, markups, votes, and other sorts of activities. So this is the perfect time to engage with your member of Congress. I think one of the perfect topics to talk about is what John just talked about previously, which is that COBRA credible coverage issue, and really explain how people can get trapped paying a Medicare penalty for the rest of their life because they went on to COBRA, which feels like the same insurance that they had because it's the same policy they had with their employer. And so they don't realize it doesn't count as credible with Medicare. And many people choose to go into COBRA when they're leaving their employer, perhaps because they have a spouse on their plan and they don't want to start off with a new plan for their spouse because their deductible has been completely paid off. So there's lots of reasons people choose COBRA over going directly into Medicare or finding a new individual policy for the people who are not Medicare eligible. And I think that's a perfect conversation to be having with your member of Congress during this August recess. We have great talking points put together this summer. They've gone out in the Washington Update, but we're happy to provide people them again, talking about topics that we think are very timely and some overarching issues that are hot, such as Medicare for All, as we head into this election.
You know, at the very least, it's an opportunity to develop a relationship. And you guys are really good at that, right? That's what you do every day as part of your business, as you work with your clients. It's the same here with your member of Congress, is developing a trusting relationship. All politics is local. You can talk about what's happening locally with regard to how people or constituents are affected on the issues that Chris just went through. Offer to be a resource. When they come back, they may call on you then to ask you what your thoughts are on a policy decision based on what you talked about in your meetings. I know that people aren't doing much face-to-face these days, but we've had a number of chapters do Zoom calls with their members, and I've been on a few of those as well.
It is now time for the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hour Toast of the Week. Who are we toasting to this week?
Thanks, Dan. And this week, we're toasting to John Lewis, a civil rights hero and member of Congress. And I encourage all of you to quote John Lewis, "Get in good trouble, necessary trouble." Thank you, John Lewis, for your time, your effort, and your legacy.
Cheers!
Thank you for joining us for the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Health Underwriters. For more information on NAHU's government affairs efforts or to become a member, visit NAHU.org.